And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll on my website. Real simple yes or no question. Did you or will you make a New Year's resolution for 2012? Go ahead and answer that. I'll announce the results of the poll on tomorrow's show. You can find that on my website, which is Brainstorming, Storming, online.com. That's Brainstorming Online. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is heroes. Each of my guests is describing a hero, whether it's in war, politics, or everyday life. My next guest is a political pundit, an author, and a former writer for President George H.W. Bush. We'll review the top political stories of 2011 and look ahead to the 2012 presidential elections. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Tracy Davis was born in Washington, D.C. That makes her passion politics. She wrote for the White House. She wrote in the White House for President George Bush Sr. All 4 years of his presidency. She even wrote in the Senate for the late Senator Ted Kennedy as an intern during her high school years. Tracy is now a frequent guest on FoxNews.com Strategy Room, as well as on radio on LATalkRadio.com with T.J. McCormick, where she discusses women's issues, current events, and light humorous subjects. She likens L.A. Talk Radio to Regis and Kathy on the radio, heard worldwide every day. Tracy is the author of My Husband Ran Off with a Nanny and God Do I Miss Her, a humorous book at a woman talking about a woman in a bad domestic relationship. She donates a portion of the book sales to The Retreat, which is an Eastern Long Island organization that helps abused women and their children break away. Joining us from the New York area. Hi, Tracy. How are you today?
Fine. My goodness gracious. That was That was a wonderful introduction.
Well, no less than all of your accomplishments sort of rolled up into a 30-second discussion there. So let's get right to it if we can, Tracy, because there's so many interesting stories this year that are political stories. I mean, it's a pre-presidential election year, so there's a lot of posturing going on about the upcoming election. What were the top political stories as you see it?
Well, I mean, I think it would have had to start off with the shooting of Gabby Gifford, and that shouldn't have been a political story at all, but it was when some of the people were writing, the far left was saying that it was because of the rhetoric of the right, and so just for a while it kind of made things divisive, which it absolutely should not have in the very beginning. But I think that was a political story that, in a way, it just divided up the Republicans and the Democrats right at a very heated moment, but then it united them under the tragedy, because of course everybody really loved her. So I think that was one of the.
Well, without a doubt, Tracy, and the better part of that story is that she's recovering so nicely. That's the heartwarming part of that story. But let's talk about the divisiveness, and let's talk about what was really at the center of that whole issue, which was a Second Amendment issue. You know, do we have the right to bear arms? And just because we have the right to bear arms, should certain people be allowed to do that? I agree that this was a highly politicized story, and we may talk about that more as we learn some of your other top political stories, because in my mind, the polarization of politics this year in 2011 has been some of the worst that I've seen in my lifetime, and I think that in and of itself is a story. But back to the Second Amendment, how can the liberal left vilify the people who carry guns, particularly in a state like Arizona, with the gunslinger state, where it is our constitutional right to do so?
Well, I mean, I'm completely on your side about that. I totally disagree with anybody who tries to take away our right to bear arms. And so I don't really understand. I mean, I'm definitely not on the left side of a lot of the issues, especially like even the social issues. I don't understand why Obama, for example, hasn't. I would think most presidents would do something immediately about the border, instead of blaming Americans who, have the right to bear their own arms. And that gets into the whole immigration and all of that. And I think that's one of the things. It's weird because even in Iowa right now, it's turning up to be one of the you know, kind of hot topics, which has sort of been dropped for a while. But, you know, the immigration is and that sort of is tied into a little bit to the right to bear arms, I think. But I just think that I don't really understand the left or the Democrat side on that.
Well,
I really don't.
Certainly not. My guest is Tracy Davis. We're talking about the top political stories of 2011. Let's go on. What are some of the other top stories as you saw them for this year?
I mean, I guess that Osama bin Laden was captured, I think, and killed. That was a good story for all Americans.
Yeah, it was. Now,
that's not really a political story.
Oh, on the contrary, I think it is. I would agree with you, and I placed it as number 3 on my list of the top political stories, and we may go over that if time permits. But the assassination of Osama bin Laden is clearly a political story because it is the manifestation of it's a projection of our military might to hunt him down and to find him. So I think that it's a very strong political story and probably one of the best foreign policy decisions that this administration has made during its first 3.5 years. Agree or disagree?
I agree, but, you know, I do get mad when people sort of say, well, you know, it wasn't done on Bush's watch because this is a military operation, and obviously that is sort of, you know, that's an insult to our military. Everybody was doing everything in their power to capture him, but I do also give, you know, our president credit for going through with what was a very risky operation.
That it was, and it proved to be successful, so we're thankful for that. My guest is Tracy Davis. Tracy, let me give you my second on my list.
Oh, okay.
Which was the debt ceiling increase debate. And you talk about polarization in politics. Certainly the debt ceiling increase debate that we had that ultimately resulted in the lowering of the U.S. credit rating to AA+ from AAA looms to me to be the second largest story of the year because this is the first time in U.S. history that we have ever had our credit rating drop from AAA. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the whole thing makes me absolutely nauseating, especially since I just sort of, you know, I'm not completely against Democrats and all for Republicans or anything like that. That's why, you know, when I grew up in Washington, I was friends with both, and I knew a lot of Democrats that were very for instance, Teddy Kennedy, I didn't agree with his policies, but he was very, you know, he had a heart about them, and he really believed in them. And I just feel like Obama, the thing that drives me crazy about him, has a lot to do with this. And that is, for one thing, that this whole thing is planned so that, you know, while we're all on vacation, you know, holiday, while we're thinking about our loved ones and our family, is when, when this proposal to raise the debt also goes up another $1.2 trillion, and obviously, you know, Congress made the deal with him, you know, when everything was falling apart in the summer. Summer is another time when, you know, people aren't paying that much attention in the late summer. But, I mean, even if the Congress was home right now and all their constituents were just absolutely adamant, I mean, they'd all have to get back in time, and then he could still veto it. And it just makes me absolutely furious that we're putting ourselves into that much debt and that, you know, we could not, you know, reach some sort of agreement to cut down some of this disgusting gross overspending.
Well, without a doubt, my guest is Tracy Davis, and we're talking about the top political stories of 2011. Tracy, kind of keeping
that's such a thing that he would do. I mean, everything he does is political. You know, it has a little bit of I'm sorry to interrupt you, but even the pipeline, you know, just not deciding until after the elections, having his health care not kick in with the taxes until after the elections. I mean, we care about this little blip on the radar screen about this payroll tax. I mean, all of these monstrous taxes that are going to be put on us and this debt, all that he plans, these certain ways that he plans it, you know, so it just, anyway,
well, my guest,
I just went off a little bit.
That's okay, Tracy. My guest is Tracy Davis, and we're talking about political stories. But let's talk, if we can, a little bit about the Congress. A lot of people are claiming that this is a do-nothing Congress, that certainly the Democrats would like us to believe that going into the election year of 2012. My question to you is this. Is it a do-nothing Congress, or is it a do-too-much Congress? When you look at the first 2 years of President Obama's administration, we passed the health reform bill. We completely restructured how we pay for education in this country. They passed the Dodd-Frank bill, which is putting restrictions on the financial institutions, all amounting to huge amounts of regulation coming down the pike. Was this a do-nothing Congress, or is this a do-too-much Congress, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, the thing that happened, I mean, you're right. The first 2 years, it was just like we were just speeding high speed down the wrong, you know, to me, the exact wrong way that America would want to go. And then with the midterm elections, and when we gained at least control over the House, thank God, I mean, that's why things, excuse me, it seems like it's been more of a do-nothing Congress, but I think a lot of it is trying to, you know, kind of stop the way that things were going, because when you have the president and the Senate democratically controlled, it makes it particularly difficult. But what bothered me is so much, for instance, with the health care, is a president who was really in tune with the American people. I think that he's a narcissist and just thinks his way is right, but the way that they shoved that through, which actually caused the Tea Party movement in the first place, which has also made it even more divisive in a way, because it takes the Republican Party and it makes it more difficult for them to unite, all sort of stemmed from, do you know what I'm saying?
I do, and I'm following what you're saying, and I want to pick up on the divisiveness part that you've talked about, because it's come up several different times. My guest is Tracy Davis. Tracy, let's talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement, which was number 8 on my list. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of the divisiveness, the class warfare battle that is being drawn around the 1% versus the 99%, and how certain members of the administration are feeding into that. I don't think that I've ever seen as partisan politics as we've seen in this year, as divisive as it's been, Republican versus Democrat, 1% versus 99%, the Tea Party versus the mainline Republican Party. I have never seen so many divisions as we have today. What's at the cause of all of that, and what is going to take for us to come together as a country to move forward?
Well, I really do believe that a lot of this, I think that our president is the type of president who does not listen to he doesn't listen to his own economists, he doesn't listen to his own party. I think he has narcissistic personality disorder, and I really do, and I believe when it started with the health care and it started with the swelling, like he wanted it, you know, he knew that the second after his election, you know, you want to capitalize on the very beginning part where you're, you know, the most popular, your honeymoon period. And when he would demand of Congress to pass a health care bill, you know, and then in August when he was going away for vacation, say, I want that one passed. Most presidents, all the presidents that I've worked with or known, and I've known almost all of them, I mean, you know, since I've been born, just having lived there, they work with Congress. They go and they send the people to have lunch, or they have them over and they work things through, and you know, they come to compromises. And he sort of looks not down on them, but expects them, you know, just to do what he wants them to do. And what happened was with this huge, as people got more and more concerned about health care and the tremendous cost and all of, and the, you know, infringement on our own privacy of the kind that we were going to have, and that we were going to have it. And when literally half the country didn't want to go through with this, and, you know, that was sort of the pinnacle moment, I think, where we were just so divided because he pushed it through anyway. And once he did that, we had sort of at that point, you know, developed this other part of the Republican Party, and then developed kind of another part of the far left party, which, you know, I think that we got what we voted for. He has always been far left, and we've got a very far left president.
All right, Mike.
My guess
is
listen to us. You know what I mean? Ideologically, but he you know, his thing was, oh well, once it's enacted, they'll get used to it, or they'll learn to like it, or they'll understand. You know, sort of like we're ADD and we're quick. You know, that we don't really read things that well. mean, he literally was saying things like that about the health care.
Well, without a doubt, Tracy. My guest is Tracy Davis. We're talking about the top political stories. Tracy, we've only got a couple of seconds left, so I'm going to ask you to handicap the 2012 election. Does President Obama get reelected with 8.6% unemployment? Oil will probably be right around $100 a barrel. That's where it is today. The economy is in the doldrums. Very few new jobs being created. Handicap it for us. Do you think that President Obama will be elected to a second term, or will there be a Republican that will take the White House in 2012?
I absolutely pray that he will not be reelected. I think he's destroying the country in so many different ways, and I think it could be such serious ramifications that could actually ruin our country. That's how serious I think it is that we do not let that man be elected again.
Wow.
And all the rhetoric and all of the little fluffiness of the economy a little bit improving and everything, you just have to look at the series of things that have happened and the way he operates. And no, I do not think he will. I think the American people are smarter than that. And I think that he will not be.
Well, there's your prediction and dire consequences if it doesn't come out that way. My guest has been Tracy Davis. Tracy, if people want to learn more about you and find out more about you, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
It's so funny because it would be the Tracy Davis Arts, but I'm just having it redone. But you know the wonderful people who know your producer who booked me, they are sort of know all about me and have all my things with them right now. Does that make sense?
It does, and we'll have that, and we'll put it up on the website when it becomes available.
Maybe you could tell your listeners that. I know it's confusing that I'm just sort of right in the midst. It's just one of those things. I do too many different things. I'm writing these books and doing. I don't have everything all organized.
All right. Well, we'll
politics is my main thing. I hope you agree with me on a lot of these.
Well, Tracy, my role is to bring out your thoughts on the matter. I have very strong opinions that I give in my op-ed pieces, but not necessarily when I have a guest online. But I do thank you for coming on the show and sharing your opinions with us. I thank you very much for that. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, and I'm really glad to talk to you. And I'm going to look up all of the things about your radio station and you and all the things you write about.
And you can find me on the web on my website, brainstorminonline.com. That's brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Tracy, it's been a delight.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you.